Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you very much, Jay. As we begin our study in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, I want to remind you of several things about Bible prophecy and the study of at least one-third of the Bible. There are a number of reasons for us to study Bible prophecy, which we will be looking at in our study today. You may have a question about, why has Jesus not already shouted for us to join Him in the heavens at the rapture? Another question might be, why are there so many people who even deny that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? They doubt that Jesus will keep His promise to come back and call us into the heavenlies. And they do so with all that is happening in our world that seems to have a real connection to the prophetic scenario that is found in Bible prophecy. As we begin our study of Revelation, I want to take a few moments to answer these questions from the Bible, which is the Word of God.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
I think we're getting closer and closer every day. There's never been a time in history when all the current events that are unfolding today are exactly what the prophetic scenario lays out in God's Word. Never in history has it been exactly like this. There is one reason that Jesus Christ has not come back yet, and that is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The only reason that Jesus Christ is not here on the earth right now is that He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to know Him. That's 2 Peter 3, 9. 2 Peter 3, 12 says that if you want to hasten the coming of the Lord, win people to Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose of studying Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy and missions conferences go very well together because missions is reaching out to the world and winning people to Jesus Christ. Prophecy is helping you to understand the urgency of the moment and the reason that we need to get out there quickly, because at some point the Lord is not going to allow it to go any farther and He's going to come back. There's a fullness of the Gentiles, not the times of the Gentiles, but the fullness of the Gentiles, which is over in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. And that is talking about when the last Gentile in this church program, this church period of time, is completed. The last Gentile comes to know Christ, and then he comes back. But at this point, the reason he's hesitated, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we need to understand the times in which we're living. I tell you, Daniel never got tired of wanting to know more information about how close it is, and comparing it and hearing it again and studying. For 3 weeks, laying on his face, chapter 10, book of Daniel, wanting to have the Lord or the heavenlies respond to his prayers. And so we need to continue to study Bible prophecy. I do not say take Bible prophecy and just study that and put aside all other Bible studies. That would be ridiculous as well. Bible prophecy is only one-third of the book, but it must be included. I would encourage you to spend more time in studying Bible prophecy. If you have not been doing that, at least I would say a third of the time, that's a third of the Bible, and you can deal with these issues as you go through the Word of God. Let me also remind you, there's a principle over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 that says, there's no prophecy of private interpretation. Now, I've taken you to different locations in the Word of God. Let me just remind you, you cannot take one prophecy over here out of a prophetic passage, say the book of Obadiah, and have it negate something that Ezekiel says. They have to go together. No prophecy of private interpretation. It was the same person, the Holy Spirit of God, who breathed into these men what he wanted to have known. You can't have Zephaniah negate the book of Revelation, or you can't have Nahum negate the book of Daniel. They all have to fit hand in glove together. So remember, as you study Bible prophecy, if it seems to be contradicting something, that is not the case. You have to just simply go back and spend a bit more study and understanding how that comes together. As we come now to the book of Revelation, this book basically takes everything that I have been speaking on and lays it out for us and gives us an end time scenario that will help us to understand the times in which we're living. Remember, we started the study by looking at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus said, "I am he that was alive and dead and now stand before you alive." That was guaranteeing that he was who he said he was and can do what he said he would do, and it will happen what he said will happen. And that's the entire book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, look at chapter 1, verse 1 just a moment, comes from God the Father. Look at this. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him," speaking about Jesus Christ, "to show unto the servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he," Jesus Christ, "sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So there's a number of steps there from God the Father, who gives the information, the message to Jesus Christ, who passes it along to an angel he has designated, and then that angel basically gives it to John the Revelator, and John is able to pen these pages of prophetic information so that we can understand exactly what is going to happen. This comes from directly from the God the Father. Revelation is a culmination of all of the Word of God, what it has to say, but it's a culmination of all of end time prophecy and brings it all together so we can understand it. I want you to understand that you must study it not numerically, but chronologically. You cannot approach your study and go chapters 1 to 22 and have a real understanding of the book of Revelation. You have to understand it chronologically. That being the case, what I want to do is give you a simple plan to understand it chronologically, and then I'm going to go more detailed and take you through the book of Revelation chronologically. Let's go to Revelation, and let me take you through just exactly what I gave you. Chapter 1, we see the person and the power of Jesus Christ. His power is his resurrection, verse 18. From verse 12 to 17, it describes the person of Jesus Christ. White hair, meaning he is eternal. And it looks at him, his countenance, his face, as the sun shineth in its very strength. It talks about him, his feet being as if they've been burned in brass and been burned in a furnace, depicting his judgment, his eyes as flames of fire, indicating that he sees all. Chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation would be letters to seven churches. There are churches that were alive when John wrote the book in 95 AD, but they also represent periods of church history, as well as their characteristics are evident in churches that are still alive today. Chapter 4, verse 1, we see the rapture. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." I'll not rehearse that again. But that depicts the rapture of the church. And remember the last phrase, "After calling us up, come up hither, I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." The rest of chapter 4 and chapter 5 are a throne room scene. And in that throne room scene, we see God the Father seated on the throne. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne," that is God the Father. Remember I told you, Jesus Christ is not now on his throne. His kingdom is yet to come, and it's key in your understanding of Bible prophecy. God the Father was on the throne. He had a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. It was not in the form of the book like we have it bound today, but instead a scroll, and not two scrolls, not two rolls, but instead one scroll, and at the top of it, keeping the flap from opening up, was a waxed seal. And in this book contained the 21 judgments that I talked about, seven trumpet judgments, seven seal judgments, and seven vial judgments. This is how the Lord is going to move forward to bring the earth under subjection and submission, and also earth dwellers under submission. Somebody asked, and the elders are there in the throne room around God the Father, who's seated on the throne. Somebody said, "Who's going to open the seal book?" And one of the elders said, "What about Jesus? He was pure, perfect, holy, without sin." And so it says that he took the book from God the Father. And he was able then, look what it says in verse 7, he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And he goes forth now. This is the title deed to the earth. It's the scroll that contains all 21 judgments, which get progressively worse as you go through. But it is the title deed to the earth. He has to have control of the earth before he goes into his kingdom. Chapter 6 now is the beginning of those sealed judgments. And let me show you who opens the sealed book. Some people want to talk about these judgments, the first five or six of the sealed judgments, as the wrath of man. That's not true. This is the wrath of God. How do I know? Because I know who opens the seal. I know who takes that seal and cracks it and opens the judgments upon the earth. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And that first sealed judgment that is broken is the Antichrist. But look at verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That is depicting the Antichrist. Why do I know that? Because that bow does not have any arrows, meaning he establishes a peace for a season. Crown on his head, trying to replicate the crowns that Jesus will come back wearing, as told to us in chapter 19. He's on a white horse, just like Jesus will come on a white horse. This is the Antichrist. This is the first seal that is opened in the first judgment of the 21 judgments that will be released. Chapter 13 gives the detailed information about the Antichrist. So if you're reading and studying through Revelation, you come through chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, then go to chapter 13 and spend more time studying there. Then you come back to the second sealed judgment, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see, and there went out another horse that was red. Power was given unto him thereon to take peace from the earth. That is the seal of war. And those are the wars that we're talking about in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, Ezekiel, chapter 38, Psalm, chapter 83. That's when these judgments unfold. There's a major war at the end of the seven-year tribulation. That's called the Battle of Armageddon, or as I refer to it, the campaign, because it starts in Jerusalem and then moves to the Jezreel Valley. But at the beginning, the first 6 months of the tribulation period, this war unfolds that is found and detailed in Ezekiel 38, Daniel 11, and Psalm 83.
These three passages, Daniel 11, Psalm 83, and Ezekiel 38, give us the details of the second sealed judgment, the man on the red horse that takes peace from the earth. These nations listed in these three prophetic passages are the names of nations in our world today that you would recognize. And indeed, they are all aligning themselves against the Jewish state of Israel. The truth is, the prophecy of this war that happens in the first 6 months of the seven-year tribulation period could begin almost at any moment. That means the rapture, which happens before this war, the rapture could happen at any moment. You can see from our first study in the book of Revelation how relevant it is for us today. I hope you can join us next week as we continue to study the prophecies from the book of Revelation that seem to be ready to come to pass very soon. By the way, if you have an opportunity this next week, tell a friend about our study in Revelation and invite them to join us. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study in Revelation.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...